It's Hef and Dan on the Fan, and we are back for another week.
Woo!
Here on 105.7 FM, the Fan, and the free radio.com app. I mean, I wish we were over the air, but we're not. So I guess we're not on 105.7 FM, the Fan, but we're on 105.7 FM, well, the Fan.com.
And we're also on 105.7 FM, the Fan's Fan on Demand, presented by John Paul's Buick GMC.
That's right, Evan. Thank you for that great sponsorship. Good Cheers. Job by you. So we are coming at you on Saturday afternoon. Not Friday night like we've been doing the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, you had a big day yesterday.
I have had two back-to-back really big days. And I think maybe we'll just start it off this way. Leroy Butler was named a Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist on Thursday, which is awesome. Amazing.
Incredible. Long overdue.
So basically, Evan and I are best friends with the Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist and future Hall of Famer, because he's going to make it in at this point.
Yeah, that's our boy.
I mean, he's going to make it in. And it was really exciting for the whole thing. He told me on Monday, actually. So I knew the whole week. And so did you, Evan. He told you too, right?
Yeah, he told me while I was peeing. I was like, well, that's a little awkward. I'd shake your hand, but I don't think you want to touch me right now.
That's right. So he basically pulled into studio in his truck on Monday. And it was just me, Billy, and Leroy on Monday and Tuesday this week, because everybody else was out for the holidays, whatever. And Gary was in Pasadena for the Rose Bowl. But he pulled up in his truck and called me and was like, hey, can you let me in the side door? Because we have a door closer to the studio. So I went out and let him in. He's like, hey, I just got off the phone with the NFL. They told me I'm a Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist. You're the first person I'm telling.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, that's an honor in itself. Like, whoa.
Right.
Like, that's crazy. And so then I gave him a big hug and I was just like, man, I'm so happy for you. You deserve this. It's about damn time. Now let's get you in. And then he went in and told Billy. Billy basically said the same thing, gave him a big old bear hug. And then apparently he told you when he went to the bathroom a couple minutes later.
Yeah.
So.
Do you want to talk more about that later, or do you want to do it now?
Let's just do it now.
Okay.
So basically, the greatness of Leroy being there. He left early on Thursday. And so we were all kind of speculating. I mean, Billy and I both knew, but Sparky didn't know. He was like, why are you leaving so early? What's going on? Why didn't you tell us that you're going to be a finalist? All this stuff. Because he left early. So we all kind of had like an inkling at that point.
Oh, so Sparky didn't know at all.
Sparky didn't know at all.
So the reaction that we're going to show, or not show, but
listen to later is 100% real. Yes,
that's
100%
awesome.
Real. Because Sparky didn't know. Like he kind of knew after Leroy was gone, but he didn't want to believe it until he saw it, basically.
Fair.
So his reaction was 100% authentic.
Okay.
Because Leroy never told him, which makes me feel even more special.
Yeah. But, well, if Sparky could show up anyway, to work.
But let's not
I'm
go
kidding.
There.
Sparky is my boss, and I love that man very much.
But apparently he told, the only other person he told in the building was Chuck, because Chuck booked him on the morning show.
Okay.
So the next day. So Chuck knew as well. But so it was awesome. He got in, but then I just went into a deep dive of Leroy Butler work for about the last 72 hours.
Because, no kidding.
Because after he was named on Thursday night, I had to make cuts of, basically cuts are like shorter segments of what we play on air. And so I had to make cuts of him being on NFL Network when he did his little speech there, his little congratulatory interview with the guys on air. I had to do cuts of when he was on The Big Show right afterward with Sparky. I had to make cuts of the guys' reactions. I had to send those all out. So when you hear any of the promos about Leroy,
that's a cut.
That's most of them are made up of cuts that I made. And then also I made a little audiogram on our Twitter, 105.7 FM The Fan.
Those are awesome.
At 105.7 FM The Fan.
Shout out Anthony for letting us do those.
Yeah, Anthony Mandela, the former producer of the Wendy's Big Show.
Let's see if we can find a way to bring him up in every single episode, because
so far we have. And he is just an amazing human being. But he first showed all of us really how to do these audiograms. And I'd say at this point, every producer that has been here more than 5 months knows at least a little bit of how to do them. Especially
right.
You, me, and Sam.
Right.
Sam Schmitz, who's a fill-in producer here and there.
I'm sure he'll be on the show eventually.
He will be. And by the way, we should probably say who we are. I'm Daniel Plucker, executive producer of the Wendy's Big Show. He's Evan Heffelfinger.
No longer the executive producer of the Bill Michael Show, because Radio Joe Zanzola shows up on Monday.
That's right. So you're back down demoted to associate producer.
For the exact same amount of pay.
That's right. We all get the same pay here, except for Joe. He's the only producer that does not get paid the same. He's the only full-time salary.
We're not going to talk
about
it.
Big-time guy. Anyway, Leroy Butler. So all this stuff, extra stuff has been happening. And then Friday, it was my job to book a ton of guests as well. And Sparky helped out a lot, too. He got most of them. But I got a couple of guys here and there. And I was the one that got us Michael Irvin.
Which is a big get.
The Cowboys wide receiver, Pro Football Hall of Famer, on NFL Network, on First Take all the time. He came on our show. And that was a lot of fun. That was really cool. That was probably the most fun we've had in an interview since I've been here. And it was really cool that I was the person that set that up.
I have a bone to pick with Jordan of radio.com sports.
Jordan, that's right. Jordan's the guy that
is filling in for our boy Adam.
That's right.
Adam's awesome. I love Adam because he's on top of everything.
Right.
I emailed Jordan on Monday. I was like, hey, I'm filling in on the Bill Michael show. I need a guest for Thursday. We haven't had Michael Lombardi, you know, a fantastic, analyst, I guess you could say.
Yeah, he's an analyst. He used to be a GM, was in a lot of different organizations in the NFL.
We haven't had a radio.com guy on for a couple of weeks. Lombardi's been well over a month. Could we get him on the show? And that was Monday, and he never got back to me.
See, but then I talked to him on Monday, and I got both Ross Tucker, who's a former Patriots offensive lineman, and Elliot Shore Parks, who's covered the Eagles for several years and is now an NFL insider on radio.com. I got both of them for Thursday.
That's awesome!
And then, about an hour later, he emailed me and was like, hey, do you want Michael Irvin on Friday? And I was
so
like,
so glad Jordan's your best friend! That's awesome!
So suddenly, Jordan hates Evan and loves me, and so I'm just going to boast about that.
Shout out to a guy just trying to get his job done, but you can't talk to him!
Yeah, Evan's a little salty, but for me it was
a great week. In case you were wondering, the show still went swimmingly Thursday.
Of course it did, because you were there running it.
Right.
That's right. So anyway, we're super pumped for our guy Leroy.
Leroy.
We're talking about Leroy. And he deserves this 100%. He's not just a Hall of Fame caliber player, he's also a Hall of Fame caliber person.
Right.
And he does so much for the Milwaukee community. He's done so much for both of us, and especially for me, because when I was still an intern, I asked him to come to my college and do an interview with me, and he said yes, like it was no big deal.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And showed up and was amazing and signed autographs and took pictures and all of that for free. It was amazing. And I'm forever in debt for him for that. And it's just been really cool to go from an intern and being good friends with him to now working with him every single day and being his guy as the producer on the Wendy's Big Show. Yeah. So I'm super appreciative for everything that he's done for me, and he deserves to be a finalist, and he more than well deserves to be a Hall of Famer.
I mean, his numbers speak for themselves.
They do.
One of two players who, funny enough, Atwater, the other safety up for the Hall of Fame
Steve
right
Atwater,
now.
Yeah.
He, both of them are the only two players on the all-decade team from the 90s not in the Hall of Fame right now.
And they should both get in.
Leroy has, I looked at his stats the other day, he has like, I think it's like 28 interceptions. 38 interceptions.
38 interceptions and 24 sacks.
Okay. Still, 30-20 for a safety is wild.
He was almost the first player in NFL history to get 40 interceptions and 20 sacks. He was two away, and then he hurt himself, and unfortunately his career ended. So they had
a
t-shirts.
Super Bowl winner, four-time All-Pro, four-time Pro Bowler. How is this man not in the Hall of Fame
already?
It's
shocking. It doesn't make sense, especially because there are guys like Brian Dawkins in there. Brian Dawkins is a great player, don't get me wrong, but his numbers are nowhere near what Leroy's are. And none of these safeties, outside of Troy and Polamalu.
Polamalu's first ballot.
Right, he is. Polamalu's going to get in. And that's kind of where it gets a little iffy with Leroy, because how many safeties are they going to take? I mean, it's not like there's a limited number of safeties that can get in, or positional players that can get in every year, but that's kind of where we're a little bit concerned. But we still have hope, and just the fact that he's in there, he's in the conversation for being a finalist, it means that someday, it might not be now, it might not be next year, but someday he's going to get into the Hall of Fame.
By the way, doesn't it make you feel old now that the players that we started growing up watching are getting into the Hall of Fame?
Yes, like Troy Polamalu.
Like Troy Polamalu, old.
He was one of my favorite players when I was younger.
Like,
and
that
now
Steelers
just like
defense with him and who am I blanking on? Who else they had?
I know who you're talking about, but I'm blanking on him too. He's the linebacker, right?
Yeah.
That's who you're thinking of. Jonathan.
James Harrison.
James Harrison. That's
who,
the one.
He's still kind of kicking, but
right.
And then like you go back the Ravens defense with Ed Reed and Ray Lewis.
Ray Lewis, yeah, both those guys too. It's just like, this is so weird.
The
like
first video game I ever owned was Madden NFL 05 with Ray Lewis on the cover.
Yeah. I think that's the first one I own, too.
And now he's in the Hall of Fame. And so is Ed Reed.
See, and
it feels like this, like a year ago that I was watching them together on defense playing.
Right. It's crazy. And I mean, this we're talking about video games. So that brings me up to another thing is so I'm a big Madden Ultimate Team player.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up the other day, now that Leroy's a finalist, if he's ever had a Madden Ultimate Team card on Madden.
Yeah.
So basically, like, they'll release specific players individually from all time, different players here and there. And I looked it up, and Leroy has never been on Madden.
You got to tell him to agree to, like, a contract for his likeness.
Right. He should definitely do that, because then I think 100% they would put him on.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's going to be, like, one of the best safeties in the game just because he's going to be a pass rusher as well as a guy that can pick off a couple. And so people are just going to fall in love with him.
Well, and he can afford to be like, hey, I want my card to be a 90 minimum.
Right. No, he would be at this point. It would be at least a 95.
Well, I guess if they do like a Hall of Fame pack.
Right, and they do that every year. They have like a Hall of Fame pack. So eventually he'll be in there, which is cool. Because he's never been in a video game that has, you know, not 8-bit.
Right. Was he in like Madden 99 or something like that?
And yeah, like Madden, some of those really, really old Madden games. But he's maybe. I don't even know. But he hasn't been in a more recent Madden game, I guess,
okay,
is the point. So anyway, I just thought that was a little tidbit that was cool.
Well, hey, do you want to play the clip of everybody cheering?
So let's play that clip of Sparky and Billy going nuts, and then a small clip as well of, well, it's one clip altogether, but Sparky then goes into interviewing Leroy there.
NFL Network's on. We're waiting to see if Leroy Butler. Hey!
There it is!
There you go, Leroy! Woo!
Now we get the vignette of Lee.
Boy, there you go! Oh, I'm happy. That is awesome.
Leroy Butler, officially a finalist for the 2020 class in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Man, I don't think I've ever seen your smile so big, Leroy, as I saw it on the NFL Network earlier today.
You don't really know if it's true or not sometimes when you hear this kind of stuff. It's the first of anything. Sometimes it's difficult. But if you think about some of the fans, people always say, I hope you have a chance at the Hall of Fame. That's the first thing I think about, because I think I have the best fans and the best fan base that really wanted to see this get to the next step. So I was very excited.
So there it was.
It's so awesome.
Sparky and Billy just pumped up.
That might be the happiest I've ever heard Sparky.
Sparky, yeah. 100%.
Because, you know, it's hard to get a laugh out of him. Sometimes it's hard to get a smile out of him.
Right.
I mean, he was jumping out of his seat.
He was literally jumping and cheering and fist pumping up in the air, and so was Billy, and it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool to be in there for that moment, even though I already knew it was coming, but it was still really cool. So I guess that's going to take us to our first break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about our NBA all-decade teams for the 2010s,
mm-hmm,
and then look ahead to what's next in the 2020 era and who we think is going to be the face of the NBA. That's coming up right after this. And welcome back to Heff and Dan on the Fan on Demand. I'm Dan Plucker. He is Evan Heffelfinger.
Missed some words.
Some words were just said. But that's in the break, so it doesn't matter now.
Right.
We're both producers here at 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee. And we are coming at you on the radio.com app and on 105.7 FM, The Fan on Demand.
Yes, sir.
And we're so happy to be here. It's been a heck of a week. We're coming at you on a Saturday instead of a Friday.
So it was a long week.
It was a very long week.
For both of us.
For both of us.
I got like 9 hours of sleep last night, which felt really good.
That's awesome.
But I feel like I'm going crazy. Like, I just felt a switch flip where I'm just like, I just had like 7 cups of coffee or something like that. Like, I'm wired.
So you're ready to go.
I am rip roaring and
all right,
ready
to
go.
Well, let's get to a topic that we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, and that is going to be our NBA all decade team and specific individual that will not be on both of ours.
Correct.
So I'll start off. Point guard, I have Steph Curry.
You can't compete with that.
So I have, basically, I'm looking for, with all of my guys, people that have revolutionized the game of basketball over the last 10 years. And when you look at Steph Curry, he has absolutely done that. He has made the NBA a three-point league. Everything now is focused on the three-point shot because of Steph Curry. And it may have started earlier. It may have been like a couple of guys here and there. But Steph Curry is really the guy that people were like, whoa, we didn't know that any of this stuff that he's doing is possible. He's pulling up from distances that we've never seen before. He has such a quick release. He's getting the ball out faster than anybody we've ever seen, and he's making all these ridiculous plays from behind the arc.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why Steph Curry is number one point guard.
Well, I think also you have to factor in awards won, back-to-back MVPs, first ever unanimous MVP.
That's right.
You have to factor in – well, I don't think you have to factor in playoffs.
Well, I mean,
in certain situations,
yes.
You do. I feel like it's such a bad if because that's a team thing. Like, sure, a player can carry you for a while, like LeBron did with the Cavs in the early 2000s, but at the same time, that's a team thing, and if we're going off of best players, we kind of have to go off of stats. But I understand why you need to put championships in there sometimes.
Right. So,
but Steph Curry is your point guard.
He has to be. I think if anybody has anybody other than Steph Curry as their point guard, it's wrong.
You could
even
argue
Russell Westbrook is the only one that you could maybe have an argument for because of the triple-double machine that he is.
Chris Paul was more the 2000s.
Yeah, late 2000s, so I don't think that you can really argue him either. But so that's who I have as my point guard.
Can we skip shooting guard?
No, because mine is Kawhi Leonard, because I consider him more of a two-guard than a big guard than a forward is more than what I consider Kawhi Leonard. So I have Kawhi at my two, and the reason why I have him there is because he is, in my opinion, the first legitimate two-way player where he dominated on both sides of the ball and carried a team to a championship by himself.
Sure.
And he also won two NBA Finals MVPs in this decade with two different teams. And was so valuable that the Raptors literally traded away DeMar DeRozan and was also a first-round pick, correct?
And Jakob Poeltl.
And Jakob Poeltl for 1 year of this man.
Mm-hmm. And it paid off.
And it paid off. We were all thinking, oh, man, this is crazy. Why would the Raptors do this?
That may be the first time in history that going all out like that has succeeded.
Completely paid off in the NBA, correct. So Kawhi has to be on your all-decade team because of that, because of his success in the playoffs and in the championship rounds, as well as the elite defender and scorer that he is.
See, now I have him as my three,
okay.
As my small forward.
Okay.
My two guard, Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade, okay.
Now, I know you could say that's more of a 2000s pick, but I looked up literally just now.
Yep.
He was an all-star eight times in the 2010s. He was all-NBA four times. Won a couple of championships with the Heat, because remember, that started in 2011. So, I mean, Dwayne Wade, you want to talk about a guy who, like, changed the game of basketball. He was the best player in basketball, I'd say, in 2005 or 6 when they won that championship.
Not in the 2010s.
I know. I'm just saying.
But that year he was.
So that was just the pedigree that he had then.
Right.
Then you move into the next decade, and he's probably, you want to say, well, now AD is the best second in command of all time.
Right.
But then once LeBron left, Dwayne showed that he can still be the number one option, and he led them and Chris Bosh to the playoffs for a couple of years, and then we don't need to talk about the end of the career.
Right. Well, that's just where I handicap him a little bit, was that he played for three different teams at the end of his career, and it kind of got a little ugly with him being in Chicago and then in Cleveland and then back in Miami. It was never that the end of his career in the 2010 decade is kind of what ruins it for me a little bit.
Now, the more that I'm looking up stats and everything, and the more I hate what I'm about to say.
What's
Excuse
that?
Me while I burp.
Nice.
Thank you. The two guard was the weakest position of the last decade.
And I think that's why I'm fudging Kawhi Leonard in there a little bit.
And that's why I hate.
You're not going to do this.
I feel like you want to get called out for being like
a super hypocrite.
Yeah.
You're going to do this, aren't you? Evan is debating. Here, let's add a little context to this. Evan is debating whether or not James Harden is on his all-decade team, and he despises James Harden.
There's nobody that I hate more in the NBA besides Marcus Smart than James Harden.
And why is that, Evan?
Now, James Harden, let's go right here. he's probably one of the top five best offensive players in the NBA right now.
I think that that is completely
with
fair.
His lethal shot. He has a really nice step back, which is a low-key
travel.
But Giannis low-key travels every single time he drives down the court, so okay. It's fine. You know, I can let that slide as a fan of Giannis.
Right.
He has all the power and potential to score 30 points a game without resorting to BS. And he does.
Mm-hmm.
And it pisses me off because you watch a game. I can't imagine being a Rockets fan and enjoying watching the basketball that I'm watching. Watching him flail into the arms of the defenders standing at the three-point line trying to desperately get a foul call out of him. I cannot stand that. The man shoots 17 free throws a game. He'll shoot 2 for 16, 1 for 8 from deep. And then shoot 22 of 24 from the free throw line and end with 32 points. And he's like, oh, I'm the best player in the NBA. Give me all the awards. I should have won the MVP last year. I'm going to win the MVP this year. I'm scoring 38 points when I'm shooting 25% from deep. Shut up! Shut up! You're not good. You want to be this, like, I mean, do you want to win the NBA Finals or not?
Right.
If he wanted to, he would change his game. Because guess what? When you get to the playoffs, the refs stop calling the BS. They don't give in to you flailing around and trying to get these foul calls because they have to crack down. Because the people are paying good money to watch those games. They don't want to watch you flop like a fish and get 22 free throws a game. That's not good basketball. There's a reason they haven't made it to the NBA Finals. Their best chance was, I think it was 3 years ago, when they were up 3-2 in the Western Conference Finals. And then choked it because they missed 27 three-pointers in a row.
Right. The Rockets have completely revolutionized their offense around James Harden's flopping. If James Harden does not play well, at least until they got Russell Westbrook, which adds a little bit there, but if James Harden didn't play well, the team didn't play well.
Now, I love Mike D'Antoni.
Right.
Because one of my favorite teams of all time is the 7 second or less Suns. You want to talk about a team that completely revamped basketball.
Good.
I mean,
Steve
Nash is one of my favorite players
Steve
of all
Nash.
Time. That's prime Amari Stoudemire.
Stoudemire, yeah.
Leandro Barbosa is the fastest player I've ever seen on a court.
And he was a shooter, too. That guy was a shooter, as Leroy would
shooter.
Say.
Shooter! But no, D'Antoni has shown that he can be a great coach. And to his credit, he hasn't really done that bad of a job in Houston.
He really has.
It's just relying on James Harden to not flop his way to 42 points a game. If you look at the numbers this year, they're empty. They're completely empty. It's him throwing up stuff when they're up 32. Like, you remember the game, I think it was like 3 weeks ago, he scored 60 points.
Mm-hmm.
But they were up 50.
Right.
And he stayed in the game and still played like 38 minutes because he just wanted to chuck up whatever he could.
Because he wants the points.
I mean, it was like what Russell Westbrook used to do where he would chase the stats.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Russell Westbrook. Everybody hated on him. They thought that he was not a good teammate, and he was all this stuff. He wasn't a winner, blah, blah. I think he's a fantastic player. But he chased stats.
He did.
I think Kobe chased stats, too. And I think at a certain point, you do have to chase stats. But
right.
When it's affecting your team's chances of winning, that's not good.
Like
last year, there was that game where Marcus Smart, as much as I hate him, he drew 2 straight offensive fouls out of James Harden in the last 30 seconds of a game, and the Celtics beat the Rockets because
that's
of
right.
it. It's not hard to shut down Harden in that way, to just completely out bullshit the bullshitter. Excuse my language. But that's essentially what it boils down to. You have to out flop a flopper, or the Bucks have shown a great way. You let him drive to the basket with his right. He either has to put it up with his right hand, or he passes it out and tries to get around one of our lengthy defenders.
And I think that's where James Harden is really a great player, is in passing the basketball.
He is a great passer.
He is a great passer. Having seen him live in the first 20 rows of a game, because my family lives in Phoenix, and nobody goes to Phoenix Suns games because they're horrible. And so a couple years ago, for $5, I sat in the lower bowl, like 20 rows up, of a Rockets-Suns game.
Okay.
And when you're at that level and you're seeing what James Harden is doing passing the rock, he had like 18 assists at the game I was at, and it was insane. He played so well in that game in passing the basketball. But I agree with you. He's a flopper. It's just so frustrating to watch him sometimes. He can be an elite scorer. He can be really one of the top scorers in NBA history.
That's the thing, is his three-point shot is so good.
It is so good.
And he has an underrated ability to drive to the basket. Yet all he does is he stands out there in the three-point line and flails his feet out, flails his arms out, tries to pump fake and jump into the guy.
And because his mechanics are off because of that, he misses shots but gets calls.
And it pisses me off.
It's crazy. It's not the way that basketball should be played.
He's a guy that he could, I mean, he probably should be a top five player in the NBA right now, but I'm not going to call him one.
So, is he on your all-decade team?
God.
He is, isn't he? He is. Okay, so Evan, let's move on to small forward.
We'll put an asterisk. He's tied with Dwayne Wade.
He's tied with Dwayne Wade. Okay, I appreciate that. You said Kawhi is your small forward.
Yeah.
Your three. My three is LeBron, and he might be your four. But LeBron.
He is.
Okay, so LeBron.
There is no all-decade team without LeBron.
Yeah, okay, so we can kind of just skip over LeBron just because we all know what LeBron
has
done.
Well, I want to talk about LeBron. I'm a big LeBron boy.
Okay, well, I was just going to say we all know what LeBron has done.
Right. Multiple MVPs, which he's gotten screwed out of a couple of MVPs.
Right, he has. Because honestly, he's been the best player in the NBA for a very, very long time. And
voter fatigue is a real thing.
Right. If the NBA would have given him as many MVPs as he deserves, he would have too many.
Right.
He would have too many. And I think that's why they started giving it to other people.
When I play 2K and I just put up stats and stats and stats and I win like back-to-back-to-back-to-back MVP.
Right.
It only happens in video games because the voters, every single sport, the voters that vote for awards are terrible.
Yes, they are.
They are a bunch of boomers.
Unless your guys win. Like if Giannis wins MVP or Jokic. Well, you're just like, oh, yeah.
That's because Giannis was so obvious.
Yeah,
Jokic was so
well,
obvious.
Well, Giannis wasn't obvious because of James Harden. But Giannis
did
it
the
old-fashioned way.
But
right, okay. Anyway.
They're a bunch of boomers.
Yes. I agree with you. That's why Leroy Butler's not in the Hall of Fame yet.
Yes.
Anyway.
Do we need to talk about that NFL All 100 team?
No, we don't.
Bad. All time. Boomers.
Yeah, it's bad.
Move on.
It is bad. But LeBron James has to be in your on your all-decade team. If he's not, it's a travesty. Let's go to the four, and I have Kevin Durant as my four.
Oh.
And it looks like Kevin Durant is off of your list, which is kind of shocking.
Well, now, you know what? I'm taking Kawhi off.
You're taking
I'm putting
Kawhi
LeBron
off.
At the three and KD at the four.
Okay.
I have to agree with you there.
Okay, because Kevin Durant is another one of those guys that has completely changed the landscape of basketball.
You ready for this hot take?
What's that?
I think he's the best pure scorer of all time.
He probably...
Like, if there is any guy in history that I need to go out there and get a bucket from any spot on the court, it's him.
Well, and it's crazy because he's the size of a center in the NBA.
He's listed at 6'10", but he's 7'1",
at least. At least. And he dribbles the basketball better than most point guards.
Mm-hmm.
And can shoot from anywhere on the court.
Especially because he's 7'1", and athletic, so he can shoot over the top of anybody.
It's insane. If you were to make a player on a video game, and you were like, I'm just going to dominate the league for 30 years. Not 30, but you know.
Maybe.
I guess, I mean, Vince Carter. But anyway, you make a guy in an archetype like Kevin Durant.
You can't. Because it's game-breaking.
It literally won't let you in NBA 2K. It literally will not let you build a player like Kevin Durant because you would destroy the game.
It's game-breaking.
He is amazing. And unfortunately, his career is going to be tarnished until he wins an NBA Finals on his own or with one other player or two other players on his side. Just because he was almost there with the Thunder. I mean, he made it early on in his career with the Thunder. Didn't win it. Then he was almost there with the Thunder. Choked it away. And then he joined the team that beat him.
It was a baby back bitch move.
It was. And so because of that, he's always going to have this asterisk on his name until he can get it done himself.
Right.
But without a doubt, he is a Hall of Famer already and is one of the best players in this decade and has the potential to be one of the top five of all time. Mm-hmm.
Portland, how did Greg Oden work out?
Yeah, Greg Oden. I was actually just watching a video of all of the David Stern, all of his number one overall pick announcements. And I laughed my butt off
at that one
when Greg Oden was announced.
What
instead
about
of Kevin Durant?
Andrea Bargnani.
That was another one that I laughed. I forgot that he was the number one overall selection. Mm-hmm. And then Anthony Bennett was his last one.
Yep.
And that was also hilarious.
Oh, who was the number 15th pick in that draft?
Oh, you mean Giannis?
Out of Greece? He was just like some 18-year-old string bean kind of kid.
Yeah, that was weird. But I don't know. He's got a little bit of.
Anthony Bennett.
He's a raw prospect.
Anthony Bennett's surely still in the league right now, right?
Yeah, definitely. He's
after a first
be.
Overall pick.
Uh huh. I think so. Hmm.
Oh
wait. Mm. Well, at least Oladipo went too.
Yeah, but he didn't really prove that he was the number two overall pick until he was on his fourth team.
Yeah, well,
you know.
That was a really bad draft. Let's just be completely honest.
It was bad.
I think Rudy Gobert was in that draft, too.
I think my boy Nikola Jokic was in that draft, too. Let me double check.
But anyway, that was a bad draft, but Giannis is by far the best player in that draft and the best pick in that draft for getting him at number 15.
Can I tell you something I just tried to do?
What did you just
try to do? I'm on Basketball Reference's website, and I almost tried to search Basketball Reference on Basketball Reference.
That would have been stellar of you. Anyway, then since you said that LeBron's your four then, and KD's in there as well, let's go to center. And this is my hot take of the decade. My center is Dirk.
And I think that's a very good pick.
And when I said this on air the other day, because I had the chance of giving this list off on air on the Wendy's Big Show on Tuesday, I believe it was. And Billy gave me a really weird look. And he was just like, really, Dirk? And if you look at the numbers, early on in the 2010 decade, 2011, Dirk single-handedly beat
the bad boy. Well, the Heatles.
The Heat in their first attempt at an NBA Finals together as a team. The Heat were supposed to win not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven. And they lost their first appearance in the NBA Finals to a Dallas Mavericks team that pretty much only had Dirk on it. And Dirk averaged 25 points a game in the regular season that year. He was dominant. Dirk also revolutionized the game of basketball because he was the first big man really that could show that you can shoot at that position from long range. Not necessarily just from three, but also anywhere inside of the arc. He has that amazing fader from inside the key as well, and just changed the way that people looked at big men in the NBA, and was the first real international player that took over in the 2000s.
Cue the uninformed Bucks fan with the, oh, the Bucks should have never traded Dirk Nowitzki, and they got Robert Tractor Trailer instead. What the hell were they thinking?
I
idiots.
Like that voice. I like
Thank
that
you.
Voice.
I have a lot of good voices I can pull out. But idiots, Dirk Nowitzki was never in the Bucks plans. We drafted him because the Mavericks wanted us to draft him, and it was part of that trade. Right. Not once was he coming to Milwaukee. At all.
Right.
And guess what? You want to know why he ended up being good? Because Dallas signed a coach to specifically just coach Dirk to make him the player that he was.
Right.
The Bucks would not have done that. Mm-hmm. He would have just been another Euro bust.
So I think we don't have to talk about Nowitzki at the end of his career because obviously he kind of fell off, but he was plenty of times an all-star and was really just one of the best players in NBA history, and unfortunately, for whatever reason, he doesn't necessarily get the respect that he deserves.
So now it's up to center for me.
And center was the hardest position
for
me.
It's tough.
It's tough because I consider Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard is up there, although his best stuff was late 2000s.
Right. And so that's kind of where it faded off for me.
You can put Anthony Davis up there.
Right. And that's kind of that was my number two was Anthony Davis.
He doesn't have the accolades. As much as I love AD, doesn't have the accolades.
Well, and he only got to the playoffs, one or two times when he was in New Orleans?
If that.
And
you know who's another guy for me?
Who's that?
DeMarcus Cousins.
That's another fair one.
And he's another guy like James Harden. Now, I love DeMarcus Cousins.
Okay.
Absolutely love DeMarcus Cousins. But he's a guy that if he could get his head out of his own ass, he would have been a top three player in the league.
He definitely would
Maybe
have.
One of the best centers of all time.
He could have been.
And I think part of the reason with him is he was stuck in the dysfunction in the Kings. So it wasn't necessarily his fault for half of it. But if he had been on, I don't know, give him the Jazz, or if he was with Pop on the Spurs, I think he would have been one of the best players of all time.
I think he could have been, because he was not only a great defender, but he also pulled down a crap ton of rebounds.
He developed an outside shot. He was one of the first centers to truly expand their game out to the three-point line.
And not only was he a shooter from deep as well, but just at that size, because we've never seen somebody that big, like almost Shaq-esque size, shooting from behind the arc. It was crazy.
He also an underrated passer.
Yes, as well.
I'm looking at his stats right now for his career. Averages 3 assists a game, which doesn't seem like much, but the past couple of years he's averaged like 4.5, 5.5
right.
as a center.
Crazy. And unfortunately with the injuries that he's had and then also the suspensions and all of the crazy stuff he's done.
His career might be
a little bit tarnished. So who's your center, Evan?
Oh, man. And does Tim Duncan even count?
Tim Duncan would count as a center, but didn't he retire in like 2016, 17?
Yeah, 2015-16.
2015-16, okay.
So you can't say him. It comes down to Anthony Davis, Dirk. I think that was a really good point. DeMarcus Cousins and Dwight Howard. I think I'm going to cheap out and go Anthony Davis.
Okay. And Anthony Davis is a good pick, but the barely reaching the playoffs at all in a decade kind of.
2 years.
They
won one playoff series.
Right. So that kind of is what tarnished him for me. But so then I'll recap my list. I had Curry, Leonard, LeBron, Durant, and Dirk.
I went Curry. I can't say it out loud, so I'm going to say Dwayne Wade.
James Harden.
Nope, I didn't say that. LeBron, KD, 80.
All right. So there we go. That was our NBA all-decade teams. Now we're going to move on to the 2020s. And we're going to talk a little bit about two players that we think could be at the top of the 2020s in the NBA.
The changing of the guard.
The king is...
Or the changing of, I guess, their forwards.
Right. That's true. But LeBron is handing his crown to one of these
to
two
who?
Players in the 2020s. We'll see you coming up right after this. Here we go, segment 3 of Hef and Dan on the Fan on Demand. I'm Dan Flucker. He is Evan Heffelfinger.
Whoop whoop.
We are both producers here. I'm the executive producer of the Wendy's Big Show. He is the...
Titles aren't needed.
Associate producer.
God damn it.
He was executive producer for a week on the Bill Michaels Show. His show's bigger than mine statewide. So, well, I mean, we're the biggest of the big shows. We're the big show, I mean.
We don't need to talk about ratings.
Anyway... We don't need to talk about ratings. Let's just not go there. So last segment, we went over our all-decade teams for the 2010s. Now we're going to talk about who we project to be the 2020 all-decade team.
Now, obviously, it's a little hard to do because we're
NBA,
4 days into this, 2020.
Right. So we might be completely wrong, which we're okay with. We're just trying to have fun here, see where we think the NBA is headed.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, Evan, we did this list together instead of separate this time. So who did we come up with for our point guard position?
I think for now it's Trae Young. That was a guy that I think, and you are, please feel free to tell me that I'm wrong.
Okay.
Or if there's another guy that you think could fit there.
That's true.
But I think so far it seems like Trae Young. He's 20 years old, averaging 28 points, 8 assists a game. Sure, on a bad Atlanta Hawks team, but he's showing otherworldly vision for a 20-year-old. His shot is already looking as lethal as Steph Curry's. I almost said Seth. That would have been funny. He has Atlanta's building a really nice nucleus down
there.
They
really are. And they want to add Andre Drummond
as well. Which would be a fantastic get. Imagine the pick and roll with Drummond and Trae Young.
That would be insane.
Throw in John Collins standing out at the perimeter. He could do pick and pop or pick and roll. Then you throw in the young guys like DeAndre Hunter. And maybe you can get something out of Cam Reddish.
That's right.
That's a good nucleus.
It's a very good nucleus.
And don't forget Jabari Parker.
Yeah, well, the man, the myth, the legend, Jabari Parker.
The Mormon.
So then at our two guard.
It's not up for debate.
It's not up for debate. And that's going to be Luka Doncic. He is averaging 29.1 points per game, which is third in the NBA through the first 2.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
9.6 rebounds, which is 17th in the NBA. 8.9 assists, which is third in the NBA. And his PER is also third in the NBA.
And he's 20
years old.
Oh, so he's averaging a 30-point triple-double at 20.
Yeah.
Dope.
Dope.
I love Luka.
He is so much. Good. He's so good. He has the size and speed and shooting ability.
And the hot mom.
And the hot mom and the passing ability and the hot mom. But
yeah,
he is going to be a special, special player in the NBA. And
I mean, it's evidence already now. He is a special player at 20 years old.
Right. Speaking of the Hawks, too. I mean,
that's you want to talk about it? That is a trade that worked out so well
for both sides,
for both teams. You don't see that often on draft day.
No, you really don't.
The Hawks got, I mean, we put Trae Young as our point guard.
Right.
And they got DeAndre Hunter out of that. Or no, they got Cam Reddish out of that.
Yes, they did.
But DeAndre Hunter was their pick.
Exactly.
But still, so they get Trae Young and Cam Reddish, who, coming out of high school, one of the best recruits in the nation, did not play well at Duke.
No.
And was still a top 10 pick, or I think he was 10th.
He was 10th. I believe so.
There's still some potential there, so that's a trade that should work out well for both teams. Obviously, the Mavericks are just chilling right now.
Right. I mean, they got Porzingis as well, and they're also a team that's in on Andre Drummond, potentially as well. So that trade worked out really well for both those teams. And if you think about it, the most comparable players for Trae Young is probably Steph Curry.
Which is wild.
And for Luka Doncic, it's probably LeBron.
Yeah.
It's probably LeBron because they're built the same way and they play very similarly, other than the fact that Luka is more of a shooter than he is a driver.
Although he does have an underrated driving ability.
Yes. But it's so crazy to think that these archetypes are exactly the same as two players we have in our 2010
All-decade. Yeah, it's very wild. It
crazy
might break down now that we go to the three.
Yeah. Who is?
Well, it's Giannis.
It's Giannis.
Now, there's some maneuvering with this list a little bit. Giannis is technically a four with the Bucks right now, but they play, as they like to say, positionalist basketball.
Right. And Giannis is just he's another one of those guys. It's between him and Luka for who is going to take this crown.
Which
from
we'll
LeBron.
Talk about after we're done with this list.
Right. And Giannis.
But what do you need to say about Giannis? Did he turn 24 or 25?
25.
Still, he's an MVP. He's averaging 30 points, 15 boards a game, 6 assists in like 28 minutes a game. He is, at the very least, top 3 player in the NBA right now.
And he's so much fun to watch. He's so much fun to watch because you're seeing the development of the things that he used to not be able to do.
Now, the one thing that worries me about Giannis is he has a game that may not age well.
That's correct.
Unless he can develop that jump shot, especially that turnaround jumper. That's what saved Michael Jordan's career. That's what saved Kobe's career.
Mm-hmm.
If Giannis, and because Giannis loves both of those guys, if he can build up that turnaround jumper or get a nice three-point shot,
mm-hmm.
I mean, at the very least, his passing ability is still super underrated.
Right.
So you play him as like a Magic Johnson-type player at the end of his career, still going to be
doing well. That's kind of what everybody was saying about LeBron, too. Like, if he doesn't develop an outside shot, because he didn't really have one either when he came into the league, his body's going to deteriorate really quickly. And I think Giannis knows that. I think Giannis has that in his mind that, you know, I'm not going to be 20 in my early 20s forever, so I need to figure out how I'm going to make this career as long as possible so I can be the best NBA player of all time, which he has the potential of being.
Which we also, talking about LeBron, we almost put him on this list as well.
It's true.
Because he, at 34 right now, is going through his second or probably third or fourth prime in the NBA.
That's right.
And this prime, this time around, he's leading the NBA in assists while also averaging 26 points and 9 rebounds
almost a triple double.
35 years old.
Crazy.
He's going to stick around for another 3 or 4 years at least.
Really,
he's going to wait until Bronny gets into college.
Into the NBA. Yeah, I was going to say the really nutty thing is we're going to see Bronny and LeBron on the same team because LeBron is a free agent the year that Bronny gets drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And so wherever Bronny, his son, gets drafted, he is going to go
unless LeBron wants to sign with the rival. I could see LeBron doing both.
Playing against his son in every single game.
And then just being like, your old man's going to teach you a lesson.
I'm going to teach you a couple things here. You line up against me, oh, you're in trouble. But
you are getting swatted.
Okay, so I'm going to go on a little tangent right here I'm a Michigan fan, right? University of Michigan. And the thing is, They just hired Juwan Howard as their head coach, right?
Yep.
And he is killing it.
Fantastic
so far.
Pickup by Michigan.
He has four top 100 recruits coming to Michigan next year.
The
insane.
New Fab Five.
Insane. Exactly. In his first year. In his first year. It's crazy to think about. Anyway, okay. So I think that Juwan Howard was an assistant coach with Miami Heat, and both Dwayne Wade and LeBron were overjoyed when he got hired at Michigan. And I just have this feeling.
Do you think Bronny's going to go to Michigan?
Both Bronny and Zaire Wade, who are in the same draft class, are going to go to Michigan. I just have this feeling that they're both going to find their way to Michigan because Juwan's building it, man. Like, he's going to have these four top recruits next year. They're going to contend. If he can continue to pull in these big recruits every year, I think there's a chance he gets both. And I think that both of those guys are probably going to be in the top 25 of their class.
As a Wisconsin fan, I don't like that.
That's my conspiracy theory.
But I could
super
I mean,
hopeful dream.
Right. I could see that.
But anyway, so after that tangent, let's go to our power forward, who we decided was Pascal Siakam,
which is it's a bit of a gamble.
It's a bit of a gamble.
It's buying high on a guy who is playing. This is his first year as a superstar.
But he has one thing that Giannis doesn't.
A championship?
A championship ring.
In 2019.
Well, right. But that's true. But, okay, fine. But he has a load of potential. He's, for a four, he's a great defender. And he showed that in the NBA Finals last year and in the Eastern Conference Finals. He was part of the wall that shut down Giannis. He can shoot and is an underrated passer and can score.
I mean, last year he had a Victor Oladipo type coming out party.
He did. Kind of just out of nowhere.
He just, I mean, easily won most improved player.
Without a doubt. And if
this year he could end up winning it again because he's showing that he is a full-fledged superstar.
Right. And if he can do this on his own, I think if he could even make the Raptors a playoff team, a top tier team in the East, which he kind of already has.
I mean, I think they'll still be the four or the five.
Right. Then I think it's okay to call him a superstar starting this year.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So,
especially because he's lining up for an all NBA team right now.
And
it might be second or third.
Right, but he's still there. And he's only 25, so he's got plenty of years left in the NBA, and I think he's got a lot of potential.
So, and that one's still up for debate. There are some other players who we could see step into that position, or we move Giannis to the four.
And fill in somebody at small forward. But
it's
this
not,
brings up...
You want to talk about this.
Zion Williamson, who I think is just not going to be a good NBA player. I think he's a great NBA player. I think he's going to be a good to an okay NBA player, but he's not going to be what we saw in college, people. He's not. And Zion is a victim of the overhyping of social media and of ESPN.
I mean, he was a star at 14 years old.
People have known his name forever because he was throwing down dunks. You're right. Since he was 14 years old, and people were seeing it on Twitter. Like, oh my gosh, this 14-year-old dude is doing windmill dunks in game and getting his 60-inch vertical over the rim.
Yeah.
And that's great. Like, good for him. He's an incredible athlete. He's huge. He's the size of Charles Barkley with insane hops.
Which is wild.
Which is so crazy to think about. But that's what he is. And because of that, nobody knows where to peg him. Excuse me.
Well, he also, a big hit on his game is that he doesn't have a shot. But he's already starting out with a better shot than LeBron had when he came into the league.
That's fair. But the problem that I see with Zion is it's another one of those things where I just don't see his game aging well.
Fair.
And he's already showing signs that he can't stay healthy.
He's also a little tubby.
Because, well, and that's the thing. Like, I question his motivation a little bit. Because what was his injury? It was a knee injury, right?
I think it was a torn meniscus.
Torn meniscus, right. But there are reports coming out that he's been ballooning since he's been injured.
Well, did you see that video of him at the practice facility
he
a couple
huge.
Weeks ago? He was a big boy.
He looks huge. And I get you can't do that much when you have any torn ligament in your knee. But most guys at least stay in a little bit of shape. Like, this is crazy. He was the number one overall pick. Everybody's hyping him. Everybody's expecting him to be this incredible machine of a scorer because he can just jump and dunk.
Right.
And I just don't see it. I just have these weird feelings that Zion's never going to be the guy that he was again, and that he just does not have the it factor that's going to make him a superstar in the NBA.
Now, I hope you're not correct. And I'm sure you hope that you're not correct as well.
Right.
Because, I mean, let's face it, more star power in the NBA makes the NBA a more attractive entity. Mm-hmm. Which, especially on this station, we need it to be a more popular entity right. So that we can talk about it.
Right.
More.
Well, here's my thing. I think Zion, his most comparable player coming out of college is Blake Griffin. Because...
more, like an undersized Blake Griffin.
Because, right. Because Blake did the same thing. Blake was throwing down these crazy dunks in college. We had no idea where this was coming from. He wasn't a big recruit.
Mm-hmm.
And... he's just doing these things that we didn't think were possible. He led Oklahoma to, I believe it was a Sweet 16 berth that year that he was there.
At least.
And he was doing incredible things on the basketball court, throwing down dunks on the college game. But look what Blake Griffin has done in the NBA.
He's revitalized his game.
He has. With the Pistons now, but he's not an efficient player. He's not. He shoots long twos. And that's kind of his number one shot. He has somewhat of a three-point shot, but he's not, when you're looking at the analytics side of basketball, he is not a great superstar player in the NBA.
And that's
I think that's where Zion is going to fall to, because I don't...
which is still a very good player.
A very good player, but not a player that's going to carry teams to championships.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's not on our all-decade team for 2020.
That's fair.
So and there's now, my in-depth analysis
like I said,
on Zion
Williamson. I hope we're
wrong. Right. If I'm wrong and this dude suddenly starts pulling up J's from 40 feet...
so be it.
So be it. That's great. He's going to be the best player in NBA history. But I don't see that happening.
That's fair.
All right. So let's move on to our center position for 2020.
Now, this is...
all decade.
There are a few people that you could put in here. Like, now, a lot of people... the center is still probably one of the weakest positions in the NBA right now.
That's because nobody knows what it is anymore.
Correct. You could throw in Anthony Davis, potentially, because Anthony Davis himself is still maybe 26, 27 years old, I mm-hmm. think. He could have another good decade in him, especially because
right.
his game should age like fine wine. It could be DeAndre Ayton with the Suns, because he's shown the flashes of why he was the number one overall pick.
But only flashes.
And
injury history.
I mean, you mentioned my boy, and I'm ashamed that I didn't mention him first. And I think this is who we're going with.
It is.
It's my boy Nikola Jokic.
Jokic.
My favorite non-Buck in the NBA.
He's probably my favorite non-Piston slash Buck as well. He's so much fun to watch.
He is. Now.
And kind of derpy.
For context, he is a chubby boy.
Yeah, he is.
He's also hilarious. He plays. I have so many thoughts in my head right now. I'm trying to get them all out at once. Some context. I'm 6'2", weight undetermined. I'm a little bit like Billy. We're both big boys, but
yeah.
We were both athletes. I played basketball for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Jokic plays the way that I thought I played. is the best way I can compare it.
The way I thought I played, he
now,
says.
Because I was 6'2 at 14.
Okay.
I was supposed to grow up to 6'6", and then I broke my back, and I just never
grew. Oh, really?
Grew
I didn't know that about you.
Junior year of high school, I broke my
Yikes.
Back, yeah.
Okay.
But I, at 6'2", I had a really good jump shot.
Okay.
Like, in practice, when they were just kind of screwing around, they would draw up ISO plays for me to just, like, spot up and shoot, like, deep threes.
Okay.
And it was always fun, and then, and you know, because I was always kind of a bigger kid, didn't have the stamina to play the entire game, so I'd go in like small little spurts, and then I'd, you know, shoot and score and whatever. But so I had a good shot. I was a pretty good passer for my size too. A little, you know, decent ball handling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay defender. Now the big thing is I couldn't rebound,
and Jokic you're 6'2".
And Jokic can.
Right.
Well, it's just because I had like a 17-inch vertical.
So,
but so does Jokic.
So
it's just
Jokic.
He also is 6'10", so it kind of helps him.
Yeah.
But so Jokic is one of the most complete players in the NBA in a body that should not be athletic.
Right.
He lumbers down the court, but he never seems to really get tired. He kind of just lumbers.
Mm-hmm.
He will shoot from 30 feet. He can beat you in the post.
He can drive.
He can drive. He also is probably some of the best vision in the NBA.
He's so
easily
much fun
the
to
best
watch.
Passer from a center in NBA easily. History.
In NBA history, maybe not, but why? Maybe.
He's
so good. That's true, but he's so good. He's so good. He's so much fun to watch. He can mm-hmm. take over games.
I have NBA League Pass just to watch the Nuggets.
Do you really? I did not know that.
Well, I got it for my birthday.
Okay.
But I pretty much only use it to watch the Nuggets.
He's so much fun to watch. He's such a good basketball player, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what he's doing because he's the only star in Denver, and
Jamal Murray has not been worth the contract they gave him.
No.
Gary Harris has not been worth the contract.
No.
I am so excited because the Nuggets are my number two team behind the Bucks.
Okay.
And obviously it's not even close. Bucks are number one.
Right.
But I am so excited to see what Michael Porter Jr. Can do with them. When they drafted him last year, I was like, hell yes.
Yes.
That is perfect.
Perfect fit.
That is because you already have a great roster mm-hmm. as is. If you can like have Paul Millsap mentor, that's going to be
Michael Porter.
That's
going to
be
really cool.
good.
Agreed.
And so far, we've seen the flashes.
And that Nuggets team has basically been carried by Jokic.
And he struggled to start the season.
He did.
Absolutely struggled. And they're still like, I think it's like 25-10 or something like that.
And they're a great team. And I'm excited for them in the Western Conference because I have now, my in-laws live in Denver. And so it's cool to see them all get excited about the Denver Nuggets as well.
Nice.
So I don't know, that whole dynamic in that city is really cool. And they're kind of like all Broncos and maybe a little bit of Rockies and they don't really care much about the Nuggets. But now that
so
the
that's
Nuggets
very
are starting,
much like Wisconsin.
Right. It's very much like our market here. And so it's cool to see them starting to get a little bit juiced about basketball because they have a good team and a superstar player. And
I'm
I think
it.
that's going to grow in the 2020 decade. So,
back to what we were going to originally talk about,
which is Giannis versus Luka Doncic. Who is LeBron going to hand his kingdom to? In the mm-hmm. NBA when he retires in this decade.
Just a side note, if I look a little bit distracted, it's because I can see NFL Network reflected in the glass right now. And
I'm jealous.
The Texans just took the field for their game.
Oh, okay. Yep, they're about to play. That's in, what, 30 minutes?
Less.
Less
like
than 10
minutes.
Oh, okay.
Let me just say, the Bills are going to win that game.
You think so?
I put money on the Bills.
You did? How much money?
$5.
Okay.
Although we do make $260,000 here as producers.
That's right. I forgot we said that on the first show.
Well, how would you forget? That's our salary.
That's true.
I don't feel good betting my money. I mean, I feel good betting my money. I just don't feel good betting a ton of money. So I bet $5.
Anyway, so Luka and Giannis.
Luka and Giannis. It's tough because we don't know how much better Luka can get. He's already shown that he is an elite passer, an elite scorer. A very good rebounder for the two guard or one or three, whatever position
right.
you want to put him at. The biggest knock on him is his defense, which he's gotten better at, but he still is a well below average defender.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis so far is probably the more complete player because he has the offense, he has the passing, he has the rebounding, and he should be the defensive player of the year. But that's just for this year. Can Giannis's game continue to progress through this decade? So he'll be 25 when this decade ends, or 25. He'll be 35 when this decade ends. Can we expect to see two or three more MVPs from him?
Mm-hmm.
Will the Bucks win a championship with him? Will he move to another team and win a championship?
Right. And how much will that change your idealistic view of Giannis?
That's true. If I was outside looking in, I would probably not like Giannis very much. Well, I'd like him because he's everything about him is so humble and nice. But
right. But if he leaves Milwaukee, how many people are going to be pissed off and say, well, he wasn't that good anyway?
That's the end of the Bucks franchise.
It is. And so I guess that's where I'm kind of looking at this, too. It's really going to depend on who wins more championships, who wins more MVPs. And it's really going to tie down to who wins more championships and who is there more often. Because if you think about it, LeBron was there for, what, 8 straight years? 9 straight years? What was it? It was one of those.
It was
two.
His last year in Cleveland, so 2009-10, I think.
I think it was 8 straight years.
From 2010 to 2018, yeah, because last year was the first year without him.
So 8 straight years that LeBron was in NBA Finals. Who out of those two do you think can catapult their team to that? And we haven't seen it out of Giannis yet. He's made the Eastern Conference Finals. He hasn't yet to make the NBA Finals.
And obviously, Luka hasn't made the playoffs
yet. Right. But honestly, I hate to say this. I think it's going to be Luka.
I would agree
with you.
Because
I, as a Bucks fan, like, you want it to be Giannis. But I think it's going to be Luka because I think we talked about it earlier. Luka's more built like LeBron.
His game at this point seems like it will age better than Giannis's.
And he already has a solid, solid number two in Kristaps Porzingis, who also could have made our all-decade team.
And another guy whose game should age like fine wine.
Right. And he's also young. So those two are going to grow together for years because, I mean, Kristaps is on a 4-year contract.
He signed the five-year max.
And if they get one more piece there, if they get one more young piece there, they're going to be so good for the next 5 years.
Yep.
Which is crazy. And you don't have that with the Bucks. You don't have that. You have Chris Middleton, who you overpaid for.
He's been worth it so far. That's a hot take, but he's been worth it.
He has been worth it so far. Chris Middleton is a great player. But if you're talking about NBA Finals teams that are going to be there every single year, he's probably a 3. He's not a 2.
Yeah.
Because you need another superstar. Middleton is a star. He is not a superstar. And you have Luka Doncic, who is a superstar. You have Kristaps Porzingis, who is a borderline superstar. And if you get one other star in that mix in Dallas, they're going to be the Western Conference title winners for the next 5 years.
You have to worry about depth at that point, but you'll get some players ring chasing.
But we've exactly. You'll get players ring chasing, and we've seen,
which the Bucks are seeing right now.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. There, Kyle Korver, Wes Matthews. That's right. Robin Lopez, you can even argue. So the thing is, the Bucks have a lot of those three, borderline 3-4 guys right now.
They just don't have that
number two guy that is going to be with Giannis, and they're gonna. I think that's what they're missing.
But that's one thing that I do love about the Bucks roster is that they have a lot of guys.
It's a band of misfits.
Because if one guy is down, the next guy is going to step up.
And that's 100% right. And the only thing is we've never seen, I guess last year with the Raptors, but we haven't seen that work consistently. You might win one title out of it, but can you win multiple? And I think that's where the question lies.
Now, if I'm being honest, if I'm a Bucks fan and I get one championship.
Oh, 100%. You're juiced.
I'm good.
You're juiced. The thing is that enough to keep Giannis here?
Yes.
I don't think it is. I don't think that one NBA Finals championship is going to be enough for Giannis, who thinks that he's the best player in the NBA and should win multiple just like LeBron did.
It depends on how much of what happens in those seasons. If they make it to the finals and lose, I don't think Giannis is going to be that upset.
No.
Now, if they get bounced in the first round a couple years in a row, that's where Giannis might start getting upset.
I think it's just going to be the frustration with the Eastern Conference Finals. Look what happened with KD. Because he was there with the Thunder, made the Eastern Conference Finals multiple times, made it to an NBA Finals and never won. He got frustrated and went to a much better team. And that is exactly what I can see happening to Giannis. He's 25. He's going to sign with the Bucks again. I firmly believe that no matter what, unless they get bumped in the first round, something crazy happens. And the only way that's happening is barring injury. Giannis will sign another contract here. It'll be 4 or 5 years. My question is, can they win enough? What limitation of NBA championships in that time period will be enough to keep Giannis here? And I think it's at least 2. I think if you don't put together 2 NBA Finals championships in that 5-year span, I think he's out of here.
I think
especially because it's going to be the desperation of him thinking, what if I'm not the greatest player in the NBA, because that is exactly what he wants to be. He wants to be the greatest player that's ever lived in the NBA. And if he doesn't have the rings to support that, he's going to go to a place where he can't.
I don't think Giannis is that kind of guy. I see him more, I mean, obviously he wants to be the best of all time, but I don't see him jumping ship that fast.
Well, it's not fast. At that point, he's going to be with the franchise for 10 years.
Yeah, I think he idolizes the guys so much, like Dirk, like Dwayne Wade for a while, or like Tim Duncan.
Right, and he can idolize those guys all he wants. I agree with
or
you.
Or Kobe.
His
guy growing up was Kobe.
Right, and he wants to be a guy that sticks around with one franchise for his whole career. I believe in that. I do. But if that franchise isn't getting you to the point where you should be, at what point do you say, well, I have to go? Because for my reputation as what should be a Hall of Fame career, what should be a top 10 player in NBA history, the only way I get there is with rings. And if I'm not getting that in Milwaukee, I have to go somewhere else to get it.
Well, the same thing goes for Luka.
But I think the Mavericks are built for longevity, and I don't think the Bucks are.
At this point, I think the Bucks are better built. Now, hear me out. Can you name three other Mavericks players besides Luka and Porzingis?
Jalen Brunson, Tim Hardaway Jr., Dwight Powell.
Okay. Now, can the average NBA
no.
fan do that?
No.
Can you name three players on the Bucks? Well, obviously you can.
Well, right, but how many of those guys are on short-term contracts?
But who, they're not, if they sign another guy, the rest of the team is going to be filled up with players like that. Now, you're going to get a couple of good vets ring chasing. You'll get a guy like Kyle Korver.
Like
but
Wesley
then,
Matthews.
But
right.
then the rest of your roster is going to be filled out with players like what the Lakers have. And I don't think the Lakers are built super well. Your roster is going to end up built like what the Lakers are seeing right now. And as far as NBA teams go, I think the Clippers are the best built team in the
I
NBA
think
right
as
now.
Well.
It's
that.
Not even close
no.
right now, because they have their two stars and then they have a fantastic supporting cast and two borderline all-star players coming off the bench. That's how you build a team. That's what the Celtics tried to do and failed.
Right.
That's what the Sixers tried to do and failed. The Bucks are the Clippers light, is what I'd say.
I think that's fair, but I'm worried about the long-term success of this team. Because
well,
you have, at this point, at the end of his 5 years in Milwaukee, an aging Chris Middleton.
That's where you have to trust in Dante developing, which we've seen the flashes from Dante.
But
I think they're not giving DJ Wilson, as much as a meme as it is, I think that DJ Wilson would be a rotation player on 25.
DJ Wilson fan club.
But I think he'd be a rotation player on 25 out of the 30
teams. I agree
teams.
With you. And their bench is so deep right now, but your bench isn't what is going to win you an NBA championship. It's
but
not
Giannis that. Is.
You're right, Giannis is, but it's one guy. You can stop one guy. The Raptors did that last year.
I think the East is wide open and the Giannis.
But this is the worst
them.
East we've seen in years.
I would disagree with that.
Because LeBron, okay, the biggest knock on LeBron James when he was in the Eastern Conference was, well, he's only doing this because it's the Eastern Conference and it's not as good as the West, which is 100% true.
Sure.
And now that LeBron is gone and he's in the West, the East is not even comparable to the West. There's going to be teams that are under 500 that make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference.
Well, that always happens.
Not necessarily in the West.
Well, I'm saying that always happens in the East.
Right, and why is that? Because it's not as good as the West.
That's fair. I'm not saying the East is better than the West.
And the East is just not as good. That's what I'm saying. LeBron got knocked for years, and Giannis is getting MVPs because of it.
Well, let's look at it this way. The Bucks have already beat the Clippers and the Lakers. And the Jazz, who I think are contenders in the West. They haven't played the Nuggets yet, but they'll beat them. If they can get through the East of the Celtics, who they lost to, the Sixers, who they lost to, the Heat, who they lost to, if they can get through that, they've shown that they know ways to beat the best teams in the West. So it's not ridiculous to say that it's a championship this year.
Right.
Next year,
I don't think it is a ridiculous to say
that.
Then
next year, your biggest competition is probably KD and Kyrie and the Nets. But that team, I mean, hot take, I don't think it's going to work well. So that's another,
I don't think it is either.
That's another path to the finals. That's two straight years already. We're 2 years into the decade, and the Bucks have gone to the finals twice. Next year,
that's just a hypothetical scenario, though.
Well, so is your saying that the Bucks won't win championships and Giannis is going to leave.
Well, the thing is, I think that the Bucks are going to win a championship with Giannis here. I do. I think he's going to re-sign. I think they're going to get one, at least one, maybe two. But you have to. It has to be two, because if it's not two, I think he gets up and leaves.
And I think two is possible. It's more than possible.
I guess we'll see. I mean, it's hard to speculate, obviously, in this next decade what's really going to happen. But it's, I really do think they need to add another superstar with Giannis, because right now they don't have that.
And we can
agree to disagree there. But I guess we'll see where the Milwaukee Bucks are headed here in the 2020 decade. No matter what, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, because Giannis is one of the greater players that we've seen in our lifetimes. And I guess we didn't really answer the question. Well, we did. I said it was Luka. You said it was Luka.
Yeah.
So we're both going with Luka Doncic, and we're both wondering.
Don't count Giannis.
No, I don't think you can count Giannis out, but we're both wondering if the Bucks can get to the NBA Finals multiple times in this upcoming decade, and we'll see.
Because my answer is yes.
And my answer is no. So that's our Bucks talk. That's our NBA talk for the show.
We want to hear from you. 414-799-1250.
Maybe that's our question for the pod today when we post it on social media.
I would say so.
It's going to be, how many titles is it going to take to keep Giannis in Milwaukee?
Okay.
So let's do it with that. And now we're going to move on from NBA talk, which we've been doing for about an hour. And we're going to talk about a little bit of Packers. They just beat my Lions.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of see who is the best matchup of the teams left in the NFC. We'll talk about that coming up right after this.
Staying alive, staying alive.
You can camp and we are using my roof and I'm running the band.
No time to talk. But then it boom when the man ain't living. Staying alive.
Welcome back.
One of us was off. It was probably me.
It might have been both of us. It's Hef and Dan on the Fan. We're not going to keep that in. I'm going to start over. Actually, that'd be pretty funny if we did. Let's just keep it. Let's just keep going. All right, it's Hef and Dan on the Fan on demand. It's a producer's podcast on 1057fmthefan.com.
Do you know how the Bills scored? How
did they score?
John Brown threw a 16-yard touchdown pass to my boy Josh Allen.
Did he really?
No kidding.
All right. Well, that's pretty sweet.
That's a good segue into some football.
Football talk. I'm Dan Plucker. He's Evan Heffelfinger.
Dun, dun, dun,
and
dun.
And we are talking about the Packers, the Green Bay Packers, and their not so pretty win against the Detroit Lions. My Detroit Lions. But, Evan, what text did I send you in the first quarter of that game when the Lions went up two touchdowns?
Here, let me pull it up a second. You do your thing.
All right. So, I'm a Lions fan, you know, and the Green Bay Packers have always just had a thing for Detroit. They do a great job at teasing us, because it's happened several times in my lifetime, and especially in the 2010 decade, where the Lions get a lead, the Packers come back, the Lions get a bad penalty, whether it be a real penalty or not.
You ready for the text you sent?
And then the Packers win. What is the text that I sent you, Evan?
Lions get a lead. Packers come back. Lions get a controversial penalty. Packers win in final seconds. Wash, rinse, repeat.
That's what it was. I sent that in the first quarter of that football game.
What was the controversial penalty?
The controversial penalty was, it was slightly controversial. I believe it was a penalty a lot of Detroit Lions fans don't. It was when Aaron Rodgers was sliding and a Lions player.
Oh, that was 100%
a penalty. The thing is, some people thought, and the people on the broadcast said that he had already started his dive.
Yeah, the second
before,
you give yourself up, you're dead.
But,
it's a dead
but the
ball.
Thing is, they were saying that the defensive back, I don't remember who it was. It was safety Tracy Walker. That's who it was. They were saying that he had started the tackle prior to Aaron Rodgers sliding, and then Aaron Rodgers baited it in. In that quick of a time period, I don't think that's possible.
No, sir.
Where Rodgers can be like, oh, that guy's tackling me at my knees. I'm going to
slide
real quick.
Yeah, I want to get hit right now.
No, that's not the way that works. But some Lions fans thought that it could be, and so did the broadcast for whatever reason. So there was mild controversy. Now let's go back to earlier this season where there was extreme controversy with back-to-back drives continuing because of hands to the face by Trey Flowers, even though he was on David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga's shoulder pads, not their face masks.
If I remember correctly, one of those was a penalty and the other wasn't.
No, neither of them were, bud. I'm sorry. And that's kind of...
Scoreboard.
That's, well, okay. I wonder why the scoreboard was the way it was, Evan. So that's how the Lions choked their way. And it's not an excuse because, sure, there were penalties. But in that first game, the Lions kicked field goals when they should have scored touchdowns. They had 12 men on the field on a fourth down. And it was just kind of an overall same old Lions type thing. This time, it's also the same thing. Lions defense just decided they weren't going to play anymore. The Packers came back.
Well, and then Rodgers decided, oh, yeah, I remember how to throw a football.
Yes, he was overthrowing galore on Sunday.
NFL record 16 overthrows.
Yeah, it was a disaster. And realistically, if he would have been on target, it wouldn't have been close.
It would have been a 42-20 game.
It would have been. There were plenty of touchdowns that he overthrew. Or just missed receivers on and almost killed Aaron Jones a couple times on those diving attempts. But it's sad to be a Lions fan, especially working here in Milwaukee, because then I have to come into work and all week we're talking about how the Packers escaped and won yet another game against Detroit. And yet again, hearing plenty of crazy fans talking about how this Packers team is no good, that they have no chance.
And we'll get to that.
We'll get to that because we have an amazing caller from our Green and Gold post-game show. 5 o'clock Steakhouse sponsors that with Gary Ellerson and
former
Bill
Packer and Badger
Michaels.
Running back.
That's
Gary
right.
Ellerson.
And Bill Michaels, the man, the myth, the legend.
The big unit.
The big unit. Former Ohio State Buckeye. He played as a walk-on in their football program. It's pretty cool. Anyway, and so now moving on from that game, let's talk a little bit about who you would like to see play the Packers next week. Who is your dream team out of the three? Because there are three teams that the Packers could realistically play.
We can play the Saints, is the most likely.
Correct.
The Seahawks and the Eagles.
The Eagles.
The only way we see either of those teams is if the Vikings win.
Right. So the Vikings have to beat the Saints tomorrow, right? There's that game tonight.
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Because the game after this is Patriots.
It's both the AFC games, right.
Which the Titans are winning that game. That's my hot take.
That's what I've been leaning towards too this week. But anyway,
which is funny because the Patriots are then going to win because they're at Foxborough. They're going to win by 35.
Exactly.
Just prove me completely wrong.
Right. So the NFC.
Well, I feel like the team I'd most like to see is probably either the Eagles or the Seahawks because they're both banged up. They're both probably lower tier. Now, I mean, the Packers beat the Eagles this season. Obviously, the record doesn't show that, but the Packers beat the Eagles in that game.
They did.
I mean, I have an Eagles fan as a buddy, and he was like, oh, yeah, the Eagles lost that game. We just got handed a gift. So I think that's probably your best matchup. Then the Seahawks, even though they are a really good team, Russ is really good in clutch situations like the playoffs or the last 2 minutes of a game, but that offense is banged up and that defense is banged up. The team that I least want to see in the entire playoffs, NFC, AFC, any of them, the least I want to see is the Saints.
Saints.
The Saints are going to the Super Bowl.
You think so?
To me, it's not even close. The Saints are going to the Super Bowl.
See, I've just had this really weird feeling about the Vikings all week.
No way.
Where they're just going to pull something out of their ass with Dalvin Cook, and Kirk Cousins is going to be like Kirk Cousins that we saw for most of the year and not towards the end of the year.
I swear to God, if they get another Minneapolis miracle.
And that's the thing. Like, every year we say, you know, the New Orleans Saints should be.
How do are they, though? They won on a.
Well,
or they
you're
lost
right. You're
on...
right. But this whole year has been, we're going to be revengeful and do our thing, and nobody's going to stop us this year. And sure, at times it's looked like that. It's looked like that nobody's going to stop them. But then they go and they lay stinkers against the Atlanta Falcons.
Now,
and that was
fair,
2 weeks ago.
To be fair, that Falcons team.
They stepped up at the end of the season. They really did.
They weren't as bad as their record showed.
You're right. They really started playing some pretty good football at the end of the season. That's why Dan Quinn still has a job.
Their season turned around with that first game against the Saints, where it was like 48-46 or something like
right.
that. That was when their season, they were like, oh yeah, we remember how to play football.
We're
now,
actually
yeah.
an okay football team.
Our roster's
right.
really good. How are we not winning?
Right. And so, I don't know. I just have this weird feeling, man.
Well, so if you don't have the Saints coming out of the NFC, who do you have coming out? Is it the Niners?
It's the Niners for me. And Packers number two and a close number two.
Really?
Really. Because I think the Packers, everybody's been saying, oh, it's such this horrible thing that we've been squeezing past games. Oh, this is the worst 13-3 football team in NFL history.
Still 13-3.
You're still 13-3. I went on a huge rant about that last week. I'm not going to go back on that again. But not only that, but you have been playing football, playoff football, for the entire season.
Right.
You have been. Every single game that you've played in has been close. You know what it takes to win games in the biggest moments.
And you still have one of the best clutch quarterbacks of all time, even if he's past his prime.
Right, and even if he showed on Sunday, it was against the Lions, granted, but he showed that against an NFL team, against NFL competition, even if he is off, even if he's having the worst game of his NFL career, he can still put together drives that will lead you to touchdowns and lead you to victories in the most important moments.
I mean, you know what that compares to? We had a guy on Bill's show this week compare it to, I think it was the 2016 Broncos.
2015 Broncos.
With Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I've been saying that for the last three weeks.
He got benched in the regular season.
For Brock Osweiler.
Because he was terrible. And they put him in the playoffs, and they win the Super Bowl.
And they win the
Obviously,
Super Bowl.
Obviously, they had a much better defense than we do.
I don't think it was that much better. It was...
I love you right now. I hope you're right.
But I look at the stats because, okay, Von Miller is an all-timer.
Yes.
And that year, he had almost half as many sacks as Za'Darius Smith
True.
Does right now.
Did they have Aqib Talib on that team?
They
still?
Did, I believe okay. so. So that's kind of where the
and
secondary...
And Elvis Dumervil.
And they had Chris Harris as well.
Yeah.
But Elvis Dumervil, I compare to Preston Smith.
Sure.
And then one of those corners, I compare with Jaire Alexander. And then you also have two safeties that are solid in
True.
Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage. I think that this Packers defense is maybe one step below that Broncos defense. And I do think...
I'll take that.
And if you look at it, I had these numbers pulled up a couple weeks ago because I tweeted this out weeks ago. And now everybody else is catching up to me that this Broncos
well,
team...
You were ahead of the trend, but because it's all kind of set in for us. Like, oh, yeah.
Right.
This has been
because
done before.
The Denver Broncos that year won 8 games by 8 points or less.
Very reminiscent of
and
this team.
And one game by more than 20. And... The Packers this year won, I believe it was 9 games by 8 points or less now with the Lions, maybe 10 now with the Lions' victory.
Mm-hmm.
And only 2 by more than 20.
The Raiders and who was the other
the
one?
Giants, I
the
believe.
The Giants, yeah.
I believe. I'm not 100% sure, but it was very, very, very similar statistics between these two teams. And you can make the comparison with Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers, you can make the comparison with this defense. And that Broncos team lost by 2.5 touchdowns to the Chiefs earlier that year. The Packers got smashed by the 49ers, and the Chiefs still made the playoffs. They were the 5 seed because later on in the season, the Broncos bumped them
mm-hmm.
to the wild card. And so I just have this feeling. I don't know what it is. But I think that this Packers team can do exactly that. And they can repeat history with the 2015 Broncos, just like
well,
they did.
Let me just say that I've never loved you more than I do right now.
because I'm getting you really excited.
Yeah.
Well, and this playoffs is going to be a lot of fun. It really is. And I honestly,
may be one of the more well-balanced playoffs we've seen in recent years.
It's true. And honestly, I think that the team I want the Packers to play most is the New Orleans Saints for one reason. Because you know who this team is. You know who this team is after that game.
Right.
You know if what I'm saying is bullshit or not. Because either the Packers are going to win that game and you're going to say, holy crap, Dan's right. This Packers team has figured out a way to win. Whether it's pretty or not, they can win ugly to the Super Bowl. And if they lose, then I'm wrong. And the season's over, and we're headed to next year with Matt LaFleur, still the head coach.
In his second year.
In his second year. This is still Matt LaFleur's first year, people.
Hey, and let's say, it's almost a given. The Packers are drafting a wide receiver in the first
round. They are. At least one.
If they don't, then give a call to Brian Gutekunst to say, what the hell are you doing?
Exactly. All that you're going to do in this year's draft is get better. All that you're going to do in this offseason with $40 million of cap space is get better.
Is either get better or re-sign your players to make sure that they get better for the next few years.
So you know that this team is going to have sustained success now with Matt LaFleur as the head coach. And
another year where Rodgers and him... Because, listen, you have to be a goddamn fool if you think that Rodgers and LaFleur aren't going to meet up in the offseason and work together on a game plan for next year.
Because you've seen times, I mean, there's one play, one time they showed Aaron Rodgers in that game against the Lions, and he said something like, stupid effing play call.
Now, I think that was, now, that's for the lip readers out there.
Right.
I thought he said like, stupid effing throw.
Okay.
Or something where he was like he was mad at himself for overthrowing.
And it could be, but I mean
that's what I would like to believe.
That's not a very often thing that you hear out of Aaron Rodgers' mouth.
No.
However, there's going to be time for growth. This is still the first year of the system, and the Packers are going to be a very good football team going forward.
Right.
Even with an aging and maybe an old Aaron Rodgers.
We're about to enter the window.
The Super Bowl window.
If we're not in the window already right now.
And I think that you could be.
Now, of course, we're matching up with the Saints window, which is unfortunate.
Well, and that's not necessarily even true with Drew Brees. Maybe on his way out after this year.
Well, I mean, in the games that he played this year, he was phenomenal.
He was.
70% completion percentage.
But are the Saints going to say, okay, we're good with maybe Trey Burke, Teddy Bridgewater being our quarterback because he led the team to wins this year.
That's true.
Undefeated with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback.
People are asking.
And then that frees up more money to spend elsewhere.
On Antonio Brown
or any other wide receiver or any other big name
or
free
literally
agent.
Any other player besides Antonio Brown.
So we'll see. I don't know. I think this Packers team, I want them to play the Saints. I do. And people aren't going to say, well, you're stupid because that's going to make a harder path. No, I think it's going to tell us exactly who this Packers team is.
It goes back to that old adage. If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Exactly. And if you beat the Saints and you head into San Francisco, potentially, because honestly, I do think that either of those teams that they play could beat San Francisco.
I mean, the Seahawks have already done it.
Exactly. And then you're hosting the NFC Championship game against the Seahawks or any other team.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Eagles. Which is crazy to think about, but it's completely possible. You have a path to the Super Bowl. And all I'm saying is don't give it away. But there's one fan that does want to give it away. And that's coming up next in our top three moments of the
what
fan this
segue.
Week. Thank you.
I love you.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back in a couple minutes. And we're back. Welcome back. It's Hef and Dan. I almost said Dan and Hef. It's Hef and Dan on the fan,
the
on
rhyme
the man.
It would not work then,
it
Dan.
It would not work. We have to keep the rhyme. It's the best part of our show.
I was about to say alliteration, and this was not alliteration, I'm not going to finish my statement.
No, it's poetry. That's what the name of our
in
show is.
In motion.
Wow. That was...
Woo!
All right. So here we
Hell
go.
Hell yeah!
Hef and Dan on the fan, on demand. I'm Dan Plucker, executive producer of the Wendy's Big Show.
Why are you going with the titles
he
again? Why are you going to try
Evan
to embarrass
Heffelfinger,
me like this?
The associate producer, not as highly ranked as me, but we still make the same of...
You know what? I take it back. I don't
Bill
love you.
Michaels show. That lasted about 5 minutes. Evan loved me for 5 minutes. Speaking of love, there's this man, Marcellius,
I think
from
it was
the East Side, who called in to the Bill Michaels show, and he was much, much, much too excited to be on air.
Let's go rolling through this. Let's go to Marcellus on the East Side. Marcellus, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
I'm doing very good. I apologize for this statement, but I am falling in love with you. Now, I'm not gay or anything like that, but
I'm good with that.
I appreciate your integrity. I appreciate you not being a hypocrite, as you stated earlier. I agree with most of what you said. But for the most part, and I was talking with you and Gary last night. However, I'm a little more composed than I was last night. Anyway, I do believe that Aaron Rodgers is in full control.
I would say that's a man after my own heart, but...
Oh, well? Well,
I didn't say anything.
Okay.
So that was Marcellus, or Marcellius.
However you want to say it.
Whatever you want to call it. I'll be looking. Let's go on to the second one. This was our good buddy, Ron, from Greenfield. He called into the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show with the big unit Bill Michaels and former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson. And he had some thoughts about what the Packers should do in the postseason, and they're a little unorthodox. Take a listen.
Let's go to Ron, listening to us in Greenfield. Ron, welcome to the program and the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show. What's up?
Hey, guys. I'm going to speak 100 right here. You know, nothing but truth. I'm thinking maybe Green Bay should just forfeit their playoff games because Rodgers is overpaid. Aaron Jones is just an imposter. He's not really that good. The offensive line sucks. The defense just barely does enough. Let's just forfeit this playoff game. We got no shot, you know.
Well, they said the same thing when they went into Minnesota on Monday night.
Right. You know, we should have lost that game. We should have lost this game. There's probably about 7-8 more games. We don't deserve this. Worst 13-3 team ever. We just should just forfeit. Don't go to the playoffs. Let Dallas and Philly both go.
It's, you know,
Dallas
what? Appreciate the phone call.
Oh, man, Ron. Ronnie.
Now, that's about as hot of a take as you can put out on the interwebs.
And this is the type of fan that I went off on last week.
Yes, you did.
But now here on Hef and Dan on the Fan, we like to toot our own horn a little bit sometimes. And,
sure.
And Evan, I'm gonna hand this one over to you so you can boastfully speak about yourself.
Now,
as the number one clip of the week on the Fan.
Yeah, this was all me, baby. Actually, that's not true. It was Bart Winkler's idea. Let me preface this by saying one of the biggest fans of this show is Joe Zenzola.
Our show?
Yeah. Well, because, you know, he's one of our bigger supporters.
That's true.
I love Joe. We both do. I work with Joe every single day, and I love Joe.
He's helped us both out a ton with a lot of different things.
So much. I owe a lot to him. Salt of the earth, love him to death, great guy. But that doesn't mean that sometimes he's not the butt of the joke.
And it happens more often than it probably should. But!
So he went down to Pasadena for the Rose Bowl, did fantastic work for the station.
Yeah, definitely.
Got some audio. I think his first Rose Bowl that he got to cover.
It was, yes.
He ate a lot of In-N-Out. And he, if you are familiar with any of our shows, Mike Clements gets on and he does these segments where he'll play clips from the locker room. And Joe did that. But Bart was kind of in a funky mood. And he said, "Hey, Evan, why don't you lead the interview?" And chaos ensued. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Bakery and Eatery. I'm Evan Heffelfinger. Chuck, Bart, and Ryan are all out. Let's head out to the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, joined by Radio Joe Zenzola. Badgers fell to Oregon 28-27 yesterday. Joe, that was a stinker, huh?
Wait a minute. Where are the boys?
They went to Perkins.
Huh?
Yeah, they said it's my time to shine. I'm leading the interview, so you ready to talk about that game, Joe?
Yeah, let's talk about the game, Evan. Okay, all right. I was not expecting this morning. Yeah, good morning. Yeah, it was. You know what? Look, the experience being able to cover the Rose Bowl for the first time was really special. There was just so much to take in, but the loss at the end and the way it went down, the Badgers kind of choked that game away.
I was going to say, let's talk about that game. All right, yeah, let's dive right in. First off, four turnovers. That's a terrible way to win a game, and obviously they didn't. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let's go to Jonathan Taylor and Chris Orr, because, you know, for them, the first issue was there was too many penalties in this game. The Badgers are a team this season that has been very disciplined. They don't get penalized enough. In fact, they average 4.6 penalties per game this year. So they had 9 penalties, which amounted to 79 total yards.
Well, and Paul Chryst, he was definitely angry on those sidelines. I mean, especially after that missed call by the refs, he was screaming, so I can't believe he was too happy about those turnovers either.
Well, yeah, the turnovers were just costly. I mean, you had 4 turnovers in this game, 2 of which were fumbles. One of them came from Jonathan Taylor. You had an interception from Jack Cohen at a really inopportune time. And then you had Anthony Lottie, who, again, he did this in the Big Ten championship game. He fumbles the punt. And this time he got a good snap. The snap was not bad. He had the ball in his hand, and as he's getting in position to kick it away, he just drops it. And then that leads to the touchdown. I mean, you can't have all these mistakes here if you're the Wisconsin Badgers. I mean, if you look at the box score, if you look at the big picture, you take away the penalties and you take away the turnovers, you would have said that the Badgers would have blown this team out by at least 20 points.
Yeah, and I mean,
dominated in so many different ways.
And they even got a big interception out of Justin Herbert, which, do you think he can make it in the pros?
Yeah, I think he can. But the thing was, the Badger defensive front, just they made things miserable for him. I mean, the only thing that Herbert did well in that game yesterday was he did something that he hasn't done much this year. And, you know, you read the tea leaves in Oregon, they've been wanting Justin Herbert to do more with his legs because he's that athletic, he's that fast, but he has been more
of a Barry Alvarez made his kid do something with his legs, too. He pushed him out of the way. It spread across Twitter and Facebook, Instagram, all of that. Did you see that video of Barry Alvarez pushing his grandson out of the way?
No, I didn't see the whole thing. I was focused on the game, but no, I mean, with Justin Herbert,
come
the one
on,
thing
Joe.
He did were,
Joe.
What are you guys doing?
We're a wacky morning show, Joe.
Yeah, we're a wacky morning show.
Okay, hi, good morning.
Jeez.
That was cold.
Very cold. Joe, come on. You just accepted that we were gone?
Yeah, look, guys, I'm trying to do a radio hit. I don't know what is going on. I'm just trying to do my job. I'm sorry for not playing along.
Oh my God! All right.
Now I come across as an asshole in that, and I just want to point out that
you really do
that. Bart was turning off my microphone and telling me what to say next, and telling me to interrupt him because he knew that it would ruffle Joe's feathers. And
right.
Now I'm 23. I have to do what I'm told, and Bart is my friend, so I'm like, okay,
well, I'll just do what he says. Right? That's what they tell us. They
it's
say
all for
always
content.
Say yes. When
and
you're,
and
when
Joe
you're in the position
Joe
that
even
in.
Said it in that clip if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he did. He said something along those lines where
like he's a young producer. You right. Got to say yes.
You got to say yes. Exactly. So we love Joe, but he was very 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 excited about his trip to Pasadena, and he was
not happy about the way that Bart treated him there.
And because of how juiced he was and his enthusiasm, some guys here kind of took advantage of that and teased him a little bit for it, but.
That
it was good
means,
for him.
And it was good for us because that is our number one spot
and that's,
on the list.
That's it. That's our top three of the fan on the week this week.
There were some very good moments that we did cut out this week.
It's true.
Like
pretty much everything for Leroy Butler.
Let me see if I can remember the Bill clip that I cut. It was him saying like, and therefore they stopped coming so much with the blitz and the rush,
yep.
If you catch my drift.
If you catch my drift, yes. And so there are plenty of moments that we miss on the fan every week. So you'll have to tune in next week to see.
Oh, by the way, just a quick little thing. It was the 15th anniversary of the fan this week.
That's true.
Sparky tweeted out about it, and Bart tweeted out, what was your favorite memory from the past 15
years?
And one person said when Hef asked Radio Joe questions and said that you guys were at Perkins for your
right.
interview.
So somebody said that was their favorite moment, not only of this week,
but a 15
years of the fan. Yeah, might be a little bit of bias, recency bias. But,
a little bit.
But hey, You know what? We're all about recency bias when we're young producers here at 105.7 FM The Fan. We appreciate all of you tuning into our show this week. We'll be back next week, hopefully on a Friday, not a Saturday, because I don't think any of us really enjoy being here on a Saturday. But, you know, for something like this, for a podcast like this, we'll do whatever it takes.
We love you.
We love you. And remember, Milwaukee, don't be a dumbass.
Just don't be a dumbass.